Let's bow for a word of prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Thank you. Okay, today I'm going to talk to you again some medical stuff. I know you all like this medical stuff, and it's easy for me. So I thought of a case that I thought would be very good to represent what I was trying to get across today. So we're going to start off with this interesting patient that we had seen recently. The patient was a 70-year-old white male who had a tooth abscess. And because of his tooth abscess, you know, he had his tooth extracted, was placed on an antibiotic by the name of clindamycin. And this is an antibiotic that, you know, takes care of mouth flora, so frequently used by dentists. About a week later, he noticed that he began having diarrhea about four times a day, and then eventually he went up to eight times a day and got to the point where it was bothering him to such a degree that he went to see his doctor, and the doctor went ahead, and he saw one of our gastroenterologists, and we did what was known as a flexible sigmoidoscopy, taking a look into his lower colon, just a short segment, did some stool studies, specifically looking for an organism that's becoming a lot more common today, known as Clostridium difficile. This organism today is probably the most common, what we call nosocomial infection, or infection in hospitals, and even nursing homes and in elderly homes, and in people that are what we call immunocompromised or weaker in terms of their overall body status. And they also got what is known as a C. difficile titer, which was positive, which indicated that this individual did have C. diff, and they started him on an antibiotic known as Flagyl, 250 milligrams three times a day. Now, this is an example of his flexible sigmoidoscopy. I'm going to show you here. You can see these little white little raised lesions here, and this is what is known as pseudomembranes, false membranes, that occur within the colon of somebody who's infected by this particular organism. And the reason this occurs is because they release a toxin, and the toxin destroys the epithelium and allows this proteinaceous substance from the body to kind of seep out, and it forms these little membranes in the colon. And it's really kind of classic. When we see this, we know the guy's got C. diff. Okay? So we knew he had C. diff. So the diarrhea slowed down. He got a lot better with the Flagyl, 2 to 3 times a day, but it still kind of persisted, you know? And then about 6 weeks later, again, he noticed that his diarrhea got worse. And not only that, but he started having fevers. And when he saw his physician, he also had an elevated white count. So now, obviously, the infection was getting worse. So we brought him into the hospital, and we actually had to give him IV fluids and get him hydrated because he had lost so much fluids from the diarrhea. And now we started him on a different medication. It's a different kind of antibiotic, more powerful, very expensive, okay? And we had him get a 10-day course of this, and within 3 days of being on this medication, he started to get a lot better. We sent him out of the hospital, but as you can see, his repeat flex sig, when he came in this time, you see a lot more. You see a lot more of these little white spots in his colon. So, interestingly, this course continues, and this is not unusual today. 4 weeks following the end of this vancomycin therapy, his diarrhea came back again. And then we repeated the C. diff study, and again, he was positive. So, this vancomycin wasn't working, so we doubled the dose. Increase the dose, we said, look, higher dose, we're going to actually taper you off. We're not going to have you stop in 10 days. And so he continued this. We went ahead 10 days, and we followed him for another month by gradually tapering his dose. And then he got okay, but 3 months later, the thing started back again. Okay, this time, it really came back with a vengeance. He had about 10 to 15 bowel movements a day. Now he was beginning to have weight loss. You know, you got to figure he's 70 years old. So with a lot of diarrhea and losing protein, he's getting really sick. So he's losing weight. He's got fever, temperature, but this time he's got abdominal pain. And when you get abdominal pain, you know that what's happening is going a little bit deeper than just the epithelium. Not only that, but his belly was distended. It's very worrisome signs. So we admitted him to the hospital. In fact, he was sick enough that we put him straight into the intensive care unit. We started him on another antibiotic, even more expensive. And because one didn't work, this is the latest of all the antibiotics that they got. We also called a surgical team because if things went really bad, it's conceivable we may have to take his colon out. So really, this guy is in dire straits. This was some of his kind of just x-rays that I show you. This is a normal x-ray with a barium study. You can see that the caliber of the colon is actually quite normal. It's kind of narrow. Now, this is when he first came in. As you can see here, he's got a lot of air in his colon, and his colon's more distended. And then on the fifth day, you can see here, this is really dangerous. You can see how wide his colon is. We call it sort of like a toxic megacolon, where the colon's just kind of dilating out now. And there's a reason for that. In fact, if you look at his repeat flexible sigmoidoscopy, you can see that now those little white spots that you saw, they're becoming what is known as confluent. In other words, they're coming together. So it's really kind of infecting their entire colon itself. And in fact, in some areas that you see here, you can see that the whole area is just almost now totally confluent. So what really happens is that early on when you get this problem, as you can see here, this is sort of the very tip, the skin, what we call the epithelium. And early on, your lesions are kind of located just in this upper part. But then, if it keeps going, you actually get this epithelium kind of peeling off, like you get a second, third-degree burn. And then you get ulceration. And then what happens is you get inflammation down in what we call the muscularis propria. That's that muscle that actually is the outer portion of the bowel or the colon. And when that happens and you get inflammation, that bowel, that muscle begins to weaken. And so it just kind of begins to dilate. So, I mean, this is just kind of diagrammatically. This is normal. And as you can see, the colon really gets kind of dilated, really a dangerous situation. Now, I'm going to show you something that's kind of new now, all right? So this is the present therapy. You got a very sick individual. He may require surgery if he doesn't get better. The duration of disease has gone for like 5 months now. 5 months we haven't been able to cure this problem. The treatment is extremely expensive. The vancomycin costs $1,200 for 10 days of therapy. It's a lot of money. The fedoxamine costs $3,200 for 10 days of therapy. So you can imagine multiple therapies. Not only that, he's coming into the hospital. And every time he comes in, you're spending at least $1,000 a day. If you come into the ICU, probably spending $2,000 a day. So when you add up the total cost of this man's therapy up to 5 months, it's huge. Plus he's getting sick and he's getting worse, right? Now, there's a new therapy. And you're not going to believe this, and it's almost unreal. It works within 24 hours. Has no adverse effects, as far as we can tell today. It doesn't cost anything. Can you believe that? Okay? And the efficacy, and it's only been used in people like this, okay, is 85 to 95%. And the patients get better within about 24 hours to about 72 hours. Okay? So, I mean, most of you would say, if I asked you, what therapy would you choose? You know, the answer would be obvious, right? You'd say, oh, God, you got to be kidding, you know? I take this new therapy, okay? No complications. So how is that possible? Well, I'm going to show you something real quickly here. This is what it is. Okay? I mean, it's stool, and it sounds yucky. I know this is Sunday. Sorry I did this, guys. But it's a very good point. This is what is known as fecal microbiota transplantation. Okay? And what's happened in these patients that take antibiotics is that they kill the normal flora of the colon. Because when you take these antibiotics, they affect the colonic bacteria. And the problem is that in debilitated older patients, usually it's in older patients or younger patients, kind of the immune system not working well, they can't get back to the normal flora. So this particular organism begins to flourish in the bowel, and you can't get rid of it. It's very hard. All these antibiotics and things that we give them, a lot of times they don't get better. Now, 60 to 70% of the time they get better. It's not to say it doesn't work. But now we're getting about 20% where you get recurrent, what we call remissions, of this problem. And then about 10% or 5% get to be like this particular patient. And so this thing makes total sense. Because if you put the flora back into their colon, and the new flora begins to kill the bad flora, you solve the problem. Okay? But it's yucky. And it's yucky for us to do it. Okay? So it's the interesting thing is that there are a lot of patients that have this, or I should say, let me put it this way. Depends how you sell it to the patient. But about 50% of the patients will say, "Ooh, you gotta be kidding. I'm not gonna have that put in me." Right? The other 50% will agree to it, and a lot of times they'll get their wife, children to be donors because this thing sounds so yucky. You can't believe somebody else's stuff is going to go into you. But you get a patient like this who comes into the ICU, you got to do something really quick, very, very quick. Otherwise, this guy could die. Or he's got to go to surgery. And the vast majority, the mortality rate for people that require surgery is at least 50%. They're already sick, they're toxic, and you're taking them to surgery. You're cutting the bowel open, and they release the bacteria in the peritoneal cavity. When you're cutting, you can't be totally perfect, and the mortality is very high. Okay? So this guy decided he wanted to have this. Now look what happened. Patient agreed to have this. So we have to make this stuff up. That's the yucky part for us. And then we put it in either by an enema or we put an instrument in like a sigmoidoscopy. And then we go ahead and insert this stuff into the patient. 4 days after we put this into this guy who's sick, this guy is so much better. He goes home, not from the hospital bed, the regular ward, because usually we go ICU to the ward, and then we sent him home. This guy got so much better, we sent him straight home. That's how fast it worked. You're not going to believe this, but this guy is now constipated. This thing works so good, he's constipated. So it's pretty unbelievable. There are only about 350 cases in the literature right now. So this is like a really interesting area that people are interested in. Rita gave me a science magazine recently that hit a whole thing about gut microflora. And the NIH spent millions of dollars recently studying the gut microflora, and it's all over your gut. There are certain kinds of bacteria that live in certain places in your mouth, in certain areas of your mouth, that do certain things that keep your mouth healthy. It's really unbelievable. And they kind of live together in symbiosis. Okay, so you know, I wanted to relate this to Peter, because when you look at Peter and this story of Cornelius, you know, Peter had this yuck factor too, because God told Peter to eat something that he never eats. The Jewish people are kosher. When you're talking about reptiles, you're talking about snakes, you know, lizards, pigs, four-legged animals. There's no way the Jewish man is going to eat this. Our previous house we rented out, we lived around a synagogue. This is out at Horton Arcola, you know, University. I think some of you older people came to my house years ago. Anyway, we rented it to an Orthodox Jew because the whole area was mainly Orthodox Jews. And on the Sabbath, this guy was so strict that, you know, if he forgot to turn the light off, he would go to the neighbor, ask the neighbor to come over to his house to shut the light off. So now you can imagine what God is telling Peter to do. He's telling Peter, you eat this stuff that all this tradition that you've had tells you is dirty. Don't you touch this. But he's saying, eat, Peter, eat. And he tells Peter three times, because Peter says no three times. Peter's good at denying three times. It always goes three with Peter, okay? And Peter says, I've never eaten this. And then God says, if I make it pure, what is it to you? And you know, I've come to realize that God is really not a respecter of people, persons, or whatever. You know, it really humbles you to realize that in God's eyes, he does what he wants. Don't ever think that you're so good that God really respects you. He is a respecter of no people. And it really keeps you humble. It's a better way to live. Okay, so Peter, to me, was asked to do a fecal microbiota transplant. I really think so. I'll tell you why. Because who did Christ come to save first? To the Jews. I came first to the Jews. Remember the lady at the well? She was talking to him. And he says, I came first to save the Jews. You Gentiles really don't know about religion. It really comes through the Jews. And that's the way God made it, okay? And so when Jesus died and shed his blood, he made the Jewish people perfect. The problem was that he also wanted to make the Gentiles, us, to have the same thing that the Jews had, the blood of Jesus, which is perfect, okay? How is he going to do that? Obviously, the story needs to be told. And what you got here is us that have a different kind of bacteria that are not perfect. We all know that. And the only way we're going to get perfect is to know the story of Jesus and what he did for us. And so what he did was he called on Peter and said, Peter, I want you to take this story and inoculate this story into the Gentile people. And Peter at first said, I can't believe you're going to give it to the Gentiles. This is for the Jews. But God had a different thought in his mind. He says, no, this is also for the Gentiles. Now, the reason I had that little last passage, which is very interesting, you all know that on the day of Pentecost, they spoke in tongues. And probably, you know, this was, speaking in tongues was a very special thing for the new converts. And it was really for those kind of like, you know, if you really got it, you spoke in tongues. And so when Cornelius and his family began to speak in tongues, it was a sign to Peter that this is for real. The Holy Spirit had really come into the Gentiles. Okay. interestingly, as I said, you know, Jesus said to the woman at the well, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in them a spring welling up into eternal life. And in a way, I think that this water is really the water that kind of changes us and makes us different people. Okay? The interesting thing is that just being a Christian, there are a lot of yuck factors that we as Christians actually have to face. Now, if you read the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, it's quite interesting. Because the life that we're called to is really not an easy one. It's really not an easy one. Jesus says, I want you to be the salt of the earth. You are different people. And in fact, you're so different that the world is going to look on you and is going to actually turn away from you and actually hurt you, martyr you, kill you because of your beliefs. But he said, if you lose that and you become like everybody else, then you no longer salt because you've lost your taste. You no longer salt. He also said, you're going to be the light of the world. And that means that if you shine a light, you think about it, you got a lamp. If you put the lamp under your bed, the question is, why have a lamp if you're going to put it under the bed? Why believe and change your thinking and have the Holy Spirit come into you if you're not going to tell other people or live a life that expresses who Jesus is, right? And the Beatitudes says, look at this, this is really amazing. And this is a picture of Jesus. Not a picture of, and I don't want to characterize this, but the Wall Street guy, the CEO of a big firm like GE. He says he wants you to be humble, compassionate, meek, merciful, humble, peacemakers, and persecuted for righteousness' sake. You're willing to do all of that? This is what I want you to do. So, interestingly, this Matthew 5, he said, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Not because of other things, but because you represent me and you're willing to stand forth. And he says, rejoice and be glad, because your reward is in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. That's really bad, yeah, because if you hear this, it's hard to be a Christian. Why would you want to be a Christian and get persecuted, physically beaten, or mentally ostracized, emotionally put aside because of your belief? So I think what God has done is he's changed your genetic makeup. The Holy Spirit comes into you and changes your thought process. He makes you think not of the world, but he makes you look towards heaven, because that's where your reward is going to be. If you think of your reward on this earth, then all these things don't make any sense. They become meaningless. So in a way, we're earthward, heavenward bound. And when we pray and have our time together with the Lord, what are we doing? We're really looking towards what will happen in the life and body that will be forever, not what we have in this little earth that will be 70, 80 years, and then eventually will die. So in a way, you have had what I call a supernatural spiritual transplant. You've been transplanted. I heard this saying that has helped me a lot. The will of God will never place you where the grace of God cannot keep you. Just think that if God tells you something, you don't want to do it. You fight with God. You say, I don't want to do it, God. I know that you will. But God won't place you in a place where he's not going to give you grace. The grace will always be there. It's a great thing. Another quotation that I always think about, it helps me whenever, actually every day, problems, if you're faced with challenges that God might give you, even at work, begin with what is necessary, then what is possible, and soon you will be doing the impossible. And this is by St. Francis of Assisi. And you know, he did a lot of impossible things, but the amazing thing is that he started with the basic stuff. And I think whatever task you have, it may look impossible, because if you look at the top of the mountain, you'll never get there because you'll be so discouraged, you don't even want to try, right? You get a major task that you got to do, and you look at it, you say, oh my gosh, I can't sleep just thinking about it. But really, if you begin with the small stuff, you begin to gather the data, what you need to do, and slowly you keep working at it, eventually you get to the end point. And I think the same way with our life with the Lord. You know, if we just take small steps and trust Him in little things and constantly do this from day to day, that as time goes on, we do bigger and bigger things. So in conclusion, be open to the suggestions of the will of God, even if it sounds yucky. God will guide you in the direction of His will. Have faith, because faith always pleases God. And God will also give you the grace to accomplish the task that He has given you. So let's bow for a prayer. Our Father, we thank You for who You are, because we know that ultimately all that You are is love. And everything that You do for us is because You love us so much. So, Lord, we just pray that as we think about Peter and the task that he had, we just pray that Your Holy Spirit will give us the same direction, the same intensity of the early disciples to do Your will. We pray all these things in Your name. Amen.